live. It's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Cause every minute, every hour, you'll be shaken by the strange and mighty power.
We're going to continue on with the baseball talk. We'll move over to the national scene. Last night, home run derby, and Juan Soto comes away victorious. Juan Soto is kind of the man of the hour right now with all the trade discussions going on and everything else. He wins the home run derby for the Washington Nationals. We'll talk more about that. We'll also talk about the All-Star game tonight from Dodger Stadium. Clayton Kershaw, the starting pitcher for the National League. Joining us right now to have this conversation, we have Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine, great friend of the show. Steve, always a treat to get you on, especially on the night of the All-Star game. It's a great night for the game of baseball.
It's a great night for the game of baseball. You and I were talking about this before we went on the air. Are you a fan of the game itself, like watching it? Do you sit down and watch the game?
Yeah, I mean, I watch the game, but I'll tell you the best part for me on the All-Star game, it's the player introductions. That's the best part of the game, right? Because as a fan of baseball, you actually see just an ungodly amount of talent in one place at one time. Yes, they kind of embrace each other as like a fraternity era of the game, right? Everybody on that field has reached rare air. Plus, it's at Dodger Stadium tonight, which I'm a little bit biased on. Yeah, when I look at the festivities that come with the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, I do enjoy that more, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. I'm not an exhibition game fan of any kind, whether it's the NBA All-Star Game, the NHL, footballs. I'm not a fan. So it would be disingenuous for me to sit down and be all enthusiastic about this one. Even though baseball is my preferred sport overall, it's just not something I'm into. So I will watch the first inning because, as you mentioned, the game's at Dodger Stadium. Clayton Kershaw's got the start, and I just want to see that matchup between Clayton Kershaw and Aaron Judge, because that might be our first opportunity to see the Dodgers versus the Yankees in a crucial situation before October, which may or may not be the case when October rolls around this year.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think in the All-Star game, you got to be aware of things like that, right? Because these guys are professionals. They size each other up. And when you talk about a matchup like the Dodgers and the Yankees, it's different than the Yankees and the Mets, which I know is another possibility. But it is different because the way interleague baseball works, those matchups have always been more prominent, a la the Dodgers and the Angels, which we just saw. So I think the intrigue of certain matchups is also something that pushes the All-Star game because, look, in a two to three game interleague set, there's a very strong possibility you don't get Clayton Kershaw and Aaron Judge unless it's the World Series, right? So that pushes the game as well.
Right. That's going to be my narrative tonight. Is I'll watch that match up there in the first inning. I think Judge is batting second in the lineup tonight. So I'll watch that, and then we'll see how the game kind of progresses from there. And I'll bounce back and forth between that and reruns of The Office or whatever lousy show happens to be on TV at the moment. So I'll bounce back and forth with it. But, you know, for me, I'll probably just be more interested in seeing that. Last night was fun. You mentioned Juan Soto winning the home run derby, and wow, what a way to continue the feverish talk surrounding Juan Soto these days.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Did Bryce Harper not win the home run derby his final year in Washington as well?
Yes, he did.
Okay, I thought so. I was watching the home run derby last night, and I forgot to look that up until you brought up Juan Soto and everything that's happening right now. I thought, yeah, I'm pretty certain that Bryce Harper also won the home run derby his final year in Washington, which, look, is a true testament to just either A, how bad Washington has been because they've been selecting at the top of drafts, or B, just how good they are at developing talent, because here we are again talking about a generational talent in Juan Soto. Outside of Soto last night, though, there was also a fun story, and we can talk more about Soto in a moment, but I don't want to stray too far away from the home run derby. We saw Albert Pujols knock off Kyle Schwarber. Who didn't love that?
Oh, you have to love that. You know, you have to love that. And you have to love the youth of this whole thing. Like, last night, watching Julio Rodriguez, I mean, that was insane what he did in the Home Run Derby last night. And I think that's one of the things you and I were talking about, the futures game a little bit earlier. And, you know, the future of baseball is fantastic right now. And while in a few other, you know, major sports, you look at the NBA, they're going through a little bit of a crisis of older players right now, you know, maybe on the tail end of their careers. NFL, you always have that revolving door. For the future of Major League Baseball last night, between Juan Soto and Julio Rodriguez, the future of Major League Baseball looks absolutely fantastic.
No, that's a great point. And I'm glad you mentioned that in conjunction with what's happening in the NBA right now, because if you take a look at the youth movement in the NBA, I would have to say I don't know who the face of the league is going to be. I mean, many people would tell you it's Zion. Well, guess what? He can't stay on the floor. Maybe Ja Morant. I mean, he's been fantastic. Is Ja really, does he possess that star power? I don't know. When I look at Major League Baseball, the youth movement is as bright today as it's ever been in the league, Steve.
Oh, yeah. I mean, go, and then let's take it to the guys who are currently playing, or the guys who are, you know, who are still, you know, making a name for themselves. Fernando Tatis, we'll see him back shortly. We'll find out if he's recovered 100%. But you look at guys like Tatis, you look at Ronald Acuña Jr., look at guys like that, and you see the youth movement right now in Major League Baseball, and it's staggering how much talent there is that really is still to be untapped, you know. And, you know, I have, living here in the state of New Mexico, a little bit familiar with a player that was drafted with the number 6 pick in the MLB draft the other night by the Miami Marlins, a 20-year-old kid from LSU named Blake Perry. I mean, that's a guy who's going to be amazing in a couple of years. Whether he's with the Marlins or not in a couple of years will still be determined. But, you know, this is a guy who was hitting, you know, 340 out of LSU, you know, just earlier this season. So, I mean, the youth movement in Major League Baseball is phenomenal. And I'm so glad that the MLB draft, which I'm not a fan of televised drafts anyway, but I really am glad that we're starting to get some coverage for these kids that a lot of people have never heard of before, because I think that's going to be how it starts. That's how you get a youth movement going. That's how you recreate a fan base, which Major League Baseball sorely needs to be doing.
Again, our guest right now, Steve Bordstein, as we talk Major League Baseball. Again, All-Star Game coming up tonight. Last night, we had the Home Run Derby. Steve, I didn't plan on taking this segment this direction, but based off of what you just said and how you're creating attention for some of the kids that we've never heard of, how it could be the kind of the hope of a rebirth of a franchise, Commissioner Rob Manfred was talking with the media over the weekend, and a media member asked him about the discrepancy in payroll between organizations. We're talking about a guy like Max Scherzer making more money in 1 year than, say, the entire Baltimore Orioles or Oakland A's or Pittsburgh Pirates roster. Rob Manfred did say, and I'm paraphrasing here, that this has been a problem in baseball for a long time, well before he was commissioner. And it pains me to say this, but yes, he is correct. I don't know that I've ever said that here on this show. Rob Manfred is correct, because in the country's best game, professional game, we still have a guy that I believe is just a buffoon in every sense of the word. But he is correct in that regard. This has been a problem in Major League Baseball for quite some time. These types of events are what give fans of the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Baltimore Orioles hope, right?
They are. But, you know, for Rob Manfred to say, and I'm quoting here, "I reject the premise that minor league players are not paying, that minor league organizations are not paying a living wage." That's a quote from Rob Manfred. I don't know what Rob Manfred considers a living wage these days, but they're not. That's a fact. You know, and you know, and one of his things that he also said was that because they can't afford to do so, or because they aren't interested in doing so. That was a question that was asked, is that are these teams just willingly not paying these guys? And then he said that he rejects the premise that they're not paying a living wage. They're not. Minor league baseball players are getting absolutely just ridiculously low amounts of money, and it has to change. And if it's not going to change through efforts made by Rob Manfred, by these minor league organizations, then you're going to see this exodus. And this goes into what we talk about every once in a while, the NIL and college sports. You're going to see these guys turn down minor league deals. You're going to see these guys turn down contracts to go join an organization because, quite honestly, they're going to make more money, you know, shamelessly, you know, hawking products at LSU and stay in college as opposed to go play for some crummy minor or some crummy double-A team where they're barely going to make a dollar.
That's a great point. That's something that we really haven't talked a lot about. We've had tons of conversations about NILs. We've seen where players have a guarantee in college, as you mentioned, hawking products, opposed to declaring for the NFL draft and being a 6th, 7th round pick or going into the NBA. Look, we've seen guys now pull their name out of the draft because if you're not getting a top 13 grade in the NBA draft, it may make more sense to go back to college where you have NIL money. Steve, a story that came out today, which I saw this today. I don't know if it came out yesterday or not, but it involved the Oakland A's and the Houston Astros. Did you see this story before I even get into it about the fact that the Oakland A's refused to send their lone all-star, Paul Blackburn, to the all-star game on a charter flight? They flew him commercial to the all-star game. The Houston Astros heard about it. They offered to fly him out on their chartered plane. Unbelievable.
Not really. The A's are an organization that is just absolutely garbage. I mean, they're not doing anything right now to promote the idea that they have any future in Oakland. They could care less right now. So I'm not surprised at anything that the A's do right now. I'm not surprised at what the Astros are doing. I'm not surprised that they're going to pursue this because the A's organization is run so badly and so shoddily right now that they're doing everything but literally, you know, to use an old school reference here, all old school this for you. With the old Baltimore Colts, they're doing everything but backing up the Mayflower trucks right now to just move the Oakland A's to whatever city is going to take them. That's literally what they're doing right now. So for me, this isn't a surprise at all.
But the point is, you have a professional organization, the Oakland A's. Mm-hmm. They won't fly their lone all-star to the all-star game on a chartered flight. So if we're talking about discrepancy and the way the game is moving financially, you know, people want to complain about the fact that the Dodgers and Yankees and the Mets are spending top dollar and it's not fair comparison to Baltimore and Oakland and Pittsburgh. And then you bring up minor league baseball. For Rob Manfred to kind of look at this and be as simplistic as saying it's always been a problem in baseball, I think it's starting to become a deeper problem. And the A's may be a unique situation because you're right. Their time in Oakland, it's borrowed right now. I think it's a matter of time before they move to Vegas where they play their home games in Henderson. But when you talk about the problems in a minor league baseball situation where a kid is getting played, I can point to the Oakland A's and say this is an organization that's so poorly ran right now, they won't even send their own all-star to the game on a chartered flight.
Right. No. And I see where you're going with this is that, you know, that the issue in minor league baseball shouldn't be impacting what a major league baseball organization does. But the major league baseball organization in question here is basically on, you know, they're on borrowed money anyway. They don't want to. They aren't going to spend a nickel. And to that same point, you know, we've been hearing all these rumblings now about Juan Soto. They're not going to spend any money either because the ownership there is already talking about selling off the Washington Nationals. So I think you're going to see more and more of these. Yeah, I don't want to call them attacks on players because that makes it sound overdramatic. But I think you're going to see more and more of this, of these teams that don't have the spending capital. You mentioned the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox. Those are teams that, ironically enough, have their own television contracts for the most part, and they're in large markets where they can command, you know, top dollar everywhere they go. You know, as opposed to an organization like Oakland that doesn't have the television revenue, they don't have the fan base, they certainly don't have the talent on the field, I think you're going to see more and more of this continue.
Steve Bordstein again joining us right now. See, I had no plans on taking this segment this direction. Here we were just going to talk about the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby, but Steve, that's why I love getting you on, because we provoke conversation that I definitely find interesting. As far as baseball is concerned, I know at the break when things settle down, these are the topics that get brought up, and media members have never been shy with questioning Rob Manfred about these particular topics. I mentioned how I rarely give Rob Manfred any sort of compliment here on the show, because he is done so many ridiculous things as commissioner of baseball. If you go back over the last 2 years since COVID, we had the shortened season, the botched negotiations this offseason, everything ended up working out. Are you softening on Rob Manfred at all?
I don't know if I'm softening on Rob Manfred, but I know that he's in a no-win position. Commissioners are always going to get bashed, right? I mean, go back in history. Pete Rozelle got bashed. Paul Tagliabue got bashed when those two guys ran the NFL. They always get bashed. Commissioners always get bashed for whatever. David Stern got bashed because he wanted to implement a dress code policy, which was the dumbest thing in the world ever to do, but it made sense at the time. He didn't want his players looking like thugs courtside. I understood those things. But that's the role of fan. That's what we do as fans. We don't like corporate, right? We never like corporate. Whatever job you're in right now, you don't like corporate. You bash Walmart for whatever reason. You bash this corporation for that reason. So that's kind of what we do. And it goes back in even further history with Bud Selig, when, you know, with the whole Pete Rose thing, everyone bashed on him. Before that, it was Peter Ueberroth. Before that, it was, you know, Bowie Kuhn. We always bash management of some major corporation. It just so happens that Rob Manfred is that guy. I will say this, though, that once again, Rob Manfred put his foot in his mouth when he said, I guess yesterday or maybe today, that if the All-Star game tonight is tied after 9 innings, it's going to be decided by a home run derby.
Yeah. This was decided over the weekend, and they've actually even announced who the participants would be for the National League and the American League. I think this is a great place to end, right? So we have this rule that's put in baseball that I'm not a fan of, where a runner automatically goes to second base. This is Major League Baseball. This isn't rec league softball. I've never been a fan of it. Never. Okay? But that rule was put in to prevent games from going 9, 10, 11, 12 innings, which is the big fear of an All-Star game.
But let's not use it here.
Yeah, let's not use it in the All-Star game. We're not going to use it in the All-Star game. Because guess what? It's really not that effective to begin with. So we're not going to use it in the All-Star game. Instead, we're going to determine the winner by a home run derby.
Which is the most asinine thing ever. And honestly, you asked earlier, the very beginning of this interview, we talked about if I'm going to watch it. I will watch that home run derby just for the train wreck mentality of it. Because it's okay to use this crazy, silly runner on second rule in every other game in Major League Baseball, but not the one that you're asking people to sit down and watch, though it has no bearing on anything whatsoever. You're not going to put that rule in play. That's just ridiculous to me.
Okay, now, what you just said, you would watch it just for that. Let me ask you this. So we saw the Home Run Derby last night. And when you get to the finals, there is some competitiveness in the Home Run Derby, and players are interested. They're watching from the dugout. You know, there is a level of excitement. I'm just curious as to what that level of excitement would be in a Home Run Derby to decide the All-Star game. I'm curious.
And how do you justify... Okay, so the guy who gets pulled in the fourth inning because, you know, if you're Brian Snitker, you don't want to have your guy out there late in the game, seventh, eighth inning, because you want to have him around for later on in the season. So you're going to pull that guy for another, you know, player on the roster. Are you bringing him back for the All-Star, the Home Run Derby? If you're that guy, if you're the manager of a team, are you bringing that player back out there? I mean, I know that you made the announcement, but if I'm the manager of the National League, or if I'm the manager of the American League, there's no way in hell I'm bringing my guy back out there, because to your point, there is zero interest in that guy going out there and winning the All-Star game in some sort of silly home run derby rule. That's just ridiculous. So what, you're going to move the pitching cage out there? You're going to move all that crap out there, you know, for the home run derby to decide the All-Star game? That's just, it's insane to me. So you asked earlier, do I have a soft spot for Rob Manfred? I did up until I read that story.
He is Steve Bornstein. He is joining us to talk Major League Baseball. Steve, it's always fun to get you on the show. I love these back and forths. Here we are, the dog days of summer. That's officially where we're at right now. All-Star game tonight, nothing tomorrow, and then we're back at baseball a little bit later on in the week. Steve, before I let you go, please tell us where we can find more of your work, because it is a busy couple of weeks for you as well.
It is a busy couple of weeks, and I do want to make one very quick thought here, if I may.
Yes, absolutely.
If you are a fan of sports, and you can't fathom the idea of the next month or so, no NBA, no NHL, no NFL, aside from horribly irrelevant preseason games, and you're just not into baseball, you lose the right to call yourself a sports fan. You no longer get to carry the card of that you're a sports fan, because this is the best time of year in Major League Baseball. From this day today, forget tomorrow because there's no games, but when Thursday comes around, if you can't get into Major League Baseball right now, you are not a sports fan in any way, shape, or form, and you should tear up the card that says you're a sports fan. That being said, I am getting ready to cover the Connie Mack World Series out here. It's one of the biggest amateur baseball events in the country. We've got a bunch of great high school and college baseball players coming into Farmington, New Mexico. You can follow along our coverage at daily-times.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DTS, Daily Times Sports, DTS Sportsdine on Twitter.
Steve, always great to get you on the show. I appreciate the time.
You bet. Thank you, sir.
Let's pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.